Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy, you're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, good morning.
Good morning, Shane.
Roisin Shortall described yesterday's budget as a Bertie budget. Do you take that as a compliment or an insult?
I take it as the opposition doing their job, which is being the opposition. No, look, fundamentally, this budget tries to do quite a number of things, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to get into it. But let's people who make those comments know this, that actually we're now living in a country that's producing surpluses. We're living in a country that's not using our corporation tax receipts for day-to-day spending. And despite being able to deliver a very significant budget yesterday to help people in the here and now, we've also been able to put billions away to make sure that my children, your children and their children never live through the austerity that we did again. So there's fundamental differences between where our economy is now and where our economy is then. But the cost of living crisis is real. And I've been up and down the length and breadth of this country over the last few months. And I've met people and they'll tell me this. They tell me all the time, we know inflation's falling. We know you'll tell us the economy's going well. But we get out of bed early in the morning. We go to work. We work hard. And we're still finding it hard to make ends meet. And in a time when your economy is going well, you do have to try and give people something back.
When I have it, I spend it.
But you see, again,
to use another phrase from that era.
You see, again, that's overly simplistic, respectfully, as to what we did yesterday. Because if you think about it, what we did yesterday was three things. We provided the budget for next year to invest in our schools, our hospitals, our Gardaí, to make people's taxes more competitive so that work pays. We provided a cost of living package to help people in the here and now between now and Christmas, because there is still a real cost of living crisis. And I challenge any politician to come in here and sit down and tell me people aren't still finding the bills high. But we also actually pumped €3 billion into infrastructure using the bank shares from a time when, quite frankly, this country was mismanaged, using the return now on bank shares to actually invest in housing, in water and electricity. And on top of all of that, we could still put money aside. So this economy is in a good place, and the choices we have really are so significantly different and better to the choices of many of our neighbouring countries.
Holly Cairns, the Soc Dems leader, was in with us earlier. She said basically you're buying the election. That's what you're doing. Simple as.
Which you see, she would. I mean, those sorts of sound bites, with the greatest respect to Deputy Cairns or anybody who says those sort of things, that's all it is. I mean, when you're in politics, your job is to listen, to act and to deliver. I listened to people across the country, particularly parents, pensioners and carers, who said, you know, we are actually struggling to make ends meet. There isn't a person listening to this programme today who hasn't seen, as they go around the supermarket, the shopping bill costing a bit more. There isn't a person listening to this programme who hasn't been worried about energy bills, or isn't worried about when there's a birthday or a Christmas coming up, how am I going to make ends meet? There's so many people in Ireland who find themselves in that position. And all we have simply done is listened to them and given them a little bit of their own money back.
You didn't target those people, though. You gave it out to everybody, including the many people who aren't struggling to pay their electricity bills, who are going off on many holidays and eating out in restaurants and so on. You gave money to them as well. You didn't target it. That's the criticism.
So it's definitely true that some of our payments are universal, because I do believe people who pay their taxes and work hard in this country are entitled to a little bit of their own money back, particularly when the country's going well. But actually, we targeted massively. I mean, I prioritised child poverty in this budget. We saw the largest increase ever in what we're now calling the child support payment, which was called the qualified child income, the children most in need. We were addressing holiday hunger for kids whose bellies don't just rumble when school is on, but still need hot school meals when the school is closed during the summer. We put money aside for that. And through the lump sum payments, we've tackled issues around fuel poverty, lone parents, people with a disability, carers. So there's a lot of targeting. But being honest, I don't apologise for saying that people who also pay their taxes and also mightn't just qualify for certain things, they can't be ignored by a budget as well. They also have a right to have a little bit of assistance. It is, after all, their own money, Shane. And again, it's a brave politician, and maybe they exist, but if there's a politician in Dáil Éireann who wants to say that a parent doesn't deserve a little bit more child benefit this year at a time when countries come out, bring it on.
With respect, Taoiseach, isn't that the problem, though? And wasn't that the problem 20 years ago? Nobody wanted to shout stop. And let's talk about the Fiscal Advisory Council, because they don't have skin in the game. They're not the opposition. I mean, they're saying you risk repeating the mistakes of the past. You're pumping billions into the economy at full capacity and full employment. It's a return to boom bust economics, boom bust politics.
So they don't have skin in the game, but they do have a very specific role to play, which is to constantly remind political decision makers of the importance of protecting
our economy.
They're
barking like mad. You're not listening.
We are, but I'm not just running an economy. I'm also running a society. A society in which there is a need for significant extra investment in certain areas. Like, for example, we have to spend more when it comes to housing. That's why we've given 1.2 billion more to our housing state agency to build thousands more homes. So there are certain things that you have to do to catch up for pent-up demand in the economy and a growing population. But I would say this respectfully to the Fiscal Advisory Council. We've also set billions aside. Like, let's not forget that yesterday we transferred billions of euro to future funds. Future funds that are going to grow and grow and grow in the years ahead, that are there when times do go bad, and times do go bad. So we are building up that buffer for the future. We've also managed, let's also be true about this, over the last number of years, there have been one-off payments in the calendar year. We've have no one-off payments into 2025. So we've actually made a number of significant decisions yesterday to move back to more regular budgeting. So of course, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, we set them up. They're absolutely there to continue to keep politicians on their toes when it comes to public spending. But my bosses are also the people of Ireland. I've met them right across the country, and the cost of living crisis hasn't gone away, and we needed to assist them yesterday.
But they make a very specific charge, Taoiseach. They say you're adding about 1,000 euro to typical household yearly outgoings by pouring money, by inflating the economy. They're saying you're giving with one hand in the budget, but you're actually taking away with the other. That's a very specific charge.
And they have said that, but there's also a context to that as well. Remember, we saw a flash inflation rate of 0.2%, I think, in recent days as well. I'm very confident that inflation is on a downward trajectory. I'm very confident that we're in a much better place with inflation. And yes, we have given measures that are relatively small in the overall scale of the budget to try and assist people in the here and now. That was the balance we had to try and strike yesterday. A
couple of texts coming through that I just want to put to you about the budget. What is the thinking behind not reintroducing the 9% VAT rate, but at the same time increasing minimum wage by 80 cents an hour? That's from John O'Shea. He says, asking on behalf of his customers. I'm assuming he's in the hospitality industry. A lot of disgruntled people in the hospitality sector. I heard Adrian Cummins saying basically it would lead to closures, that decision.
Well, let's again look at these things in the round. Well, the government wasn't in a position yesterday to do the 9% VAT rate. And let's also acknowledge there's lots of sectors of the economy, lots of small businesses that would have wanted changes to their VAT rate. So you pull that thread. I'm not sure where we could have ended up overall, right? But we did do a number of things yesterday to help the hospitality sector, to help the retail sector. So people working in these sectors will get a cash payment of up to €4,000 tax-free between now and Christmas. We did increase the earned income tax credit for people who are self-employed, many of those people running cafes, running restaurants. We did increase the threshold for VAT, so people who are having less of a turnover now won't have to pay VAT. We did also, I think, listen to people. We didn't just jump straight in and expand the number of sick days. Remember, that was originally going to go to 10 next year. We said, hang on a second, we need to review these things and we need to listen. And you know what we've most importantly done for business? We've put more money in their customers' pockets. We've reduced the USC by a percentage point. That will benefit all people working in our economy. We've increased the income threshold at which you pay the higher rate of tax, and we've provided people with more disposable income as well. So we'll continue to keep these things under review. I do think there's a broader conversation. I want to have it with the hospitality sector about the cost base that small and medium businesses face in this country. But in a budget, you've just, with the greatest of respect, on the one hand, at the start of this thing, saying we've done too much. Then on the other hand, people will text in.
Well,
and
I'm
say
just putting what a listener
oh no,
said.
Absolutely. But I'm saying this is my job. You know, on the one hand, people will say you've done too much. On the other hand, people say you didn't do enough. We tried to get the balance right yesterday.
One other text from a listener. Can you ask the Taoiseach about funding for respite and residential services for those with intellectual disabilities? The waiting lists for both are enormous, not including the unknown needs. It would appear once again that disability has been drowned out by the huge health budget. There's someone who feels that their sector hasn't been enough done for them.
No, I want to assure that listener, and I'm conscious that this is a really, really a sensitive area, a difficult area, in an area where there's traditionally been an underspend over many years, there is, will be a significant increase in the disability budget, in the respite budget. Minister Rabbit will outline that, and the details will also appear in the HSE service plan. But we have specifically increased funding for respite and disability. We've also specifically increased financial supports for people with a disability and carers. For example, we've increased the carer support grant. We've increased that up to €2,000 paid in July. We've also changed the means test so more people will qualify for carer support. We've increased the domiciliary care allowance. But in terms of specifically investing more in the services, can absolutely assure that was specifically referenced in the budget yesterday.
Okay. Can I ask just a couple of other specific questions about the budget? The mansion tax, as it's been dubbed, this 6% stamp duty on the amount of a house sold that's over 1.5 million. Was that a Fianna Fáil idea? A lot of people in Fine Gael privately say, oh no, that's the Fianna Fáil. No,
the government takes all of these decisions in the round. Department of Finance brings forward proposals around fairness and equity in relation to stamp duty and the likes. I think this is a modest proposal that impacts a very small number of houses. And remember, it's only on the difference above 1.5 million. So I think this is a very small measure, and I think it speaks to fairness in the budget.
One of the other criticisms I heard about going back to the energy credits, the criticism is you're spending more on untargeted energy credits than on retrofitting for the coming year. That is a strange choice of emphasis, isn't it?
It's a bit apples and oranges, though, with respect. I thought what you were going to say was more on energy credits and fuel poverty, which wouldn't be correct. I mean, what we're trying to do here is in the here and now help people with the energy bills. There's a very significant programme of retrofitting linked to the carbon tax revenues. You will see a significant increase in retrofitting, and there's also a specific allocation in the budget to help public sector bodies start to retrofit. But the energy credit, it can't really be contrasted with a retrofitting programme. It is there to help people with the bills that land in the doors in November, December, you know, and early into the new year. And on the fuel allowance, you know, particularly targeting people in fuel poverty, we're going to have a once-off payment before Christmas as well, which I think is important.
You make the point that you make no apologies for giving people back something. And look, that is a very strong line. I'm sure it'll get a lot of traction with people. But something did happen in the last few days, because it wasn't so long ago that the ministers, the two finance ministers, were talking about a cost of living package at 1.2 billion. We were told it'll be nowhere near last year. Inflation is at a very modest level. It ended up at 2.2 billion. There is a real sense that in recent days, when you realised the largesse you had to spend, that there was a kind of a frantic attempt to find things to throw money at.
No, not at all. I mean, the budget delivered yesterday was within the parameters of the summer economic statement. So the budget 2025 was delivered within the parameters of the summer economic statement. What is true is that as we worked our way through the cost of living package, the cost of living package probably did grow a bit, but it's still about 500 million less overall in terms of one-off measures than last year. And in addition to that, the surplus also grew since the time of the summer economic statement. So we have to look at this in the round. We actually saw billions more come into this country from when the summer economic statement was published and when the budget was delivered. And in that context, we gave a small fraction of that back to people. And I think that makes absolute sense. Because, again, and I am a politician who likes to listen to people as they go around the country. I am under no illusion that people around the country balk and shudder when they hear politicians to say inflation's falling, the economy's going well. All of that's true. But genuinely, the pressures that people are still feeling, and Pascal Dunne, who spoke to this yesterday, are real. And it's very hard to explain to people when the country is going well. Of course you put money aside for the future. Of course you invest in infrastructure. But why you won't give them just a little bit of their own money back? That's all we're doing. I think it's sensible politics. And I think it's how you protect social cohesion and you help buffer people through challenging times.
OK, I listened carefully to your answer last night on the news when you were asked about the election, as you are regularly asked about it. And I think you said you want to finish your work. Now, that's pretty vague, because, I mean, you could... that just could mean the finance bill. And looking at the finance bill, talking to experts last night, they were saying it looks like a pretty slim finance bill. It could all be done in a couple of weeks. I mean, you are set fair for a November election. That does leave scope for a November election, doesn't it, having your work done?
No, look, I've tried to be quite clear on this. I mean, I don't think it's appropriate or fair in a three-party coalition government to kind of do these things through the airwaves. And I say this very respectfully, nor did the Constitution of Ireland ever indicate that I'd kind of provide some sort of running commentary on where
fair.
My thinking is
That's
on the
fair.
Election on a daily basis.
Sure.
It is the prerogative of any Taoiseach of the day to decide when to have an election. I've said I want this government to end well. I've said I want the government to finish its work, go full term. Let's not overparse my language. We've delivered a budget yesterday. The budget isn't actually law yet, or certainly very small elements of it are. We have a finance bill. We have a social welfare bill. We have other important things I'd like to see progress. We have a mental health bill. We have a defamation bill. There's a lot of work to do. We're dealing also, obviously, with in a very dangerous world at the moment and monitoring closely what's going on in various parts of the world. There's a lot going on.
Are you ruling out a November election?
What I'm saying is I'm not providing a running commentary. And that's, now before everybody, sorry, everybody won't get excited about this, because the only people who do get excited about this are, with respect, journalists and some of my colleagues.
Also
true. So like it's such a bubble conversation. So what I'm saying is I'm not providing a running commentary. Don't read anything into that. You all will, but don't. My view on this is I want the government to finish its work. I want the government to go full term. I want the government to end well. And then I want to go out and ask people to give me a chance to continue to be their Taoiseach.
Okay, a few last things before we let you go, Taoiseach. Where does Ireland stand in a conflict or a potential war between Israel and Iran?
So firstly, Ireland utterly condemns the Iranian actions of last night. Were it not for the air dome system, we could have seen hundreds of missiles land on civilian populations in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem. And we utterly condemn the actions of Iran, as all countries should. We also, though, need to be very honest. We're at a moment of incredible jeopardy in the Middle East. It's a region really on the brink. The actions of Israel in recent days in terms of a land incursion into Lebanon has also should be condemned, is not welcome, is not in line with the UN Charter. And all of this is happening against the backdrop of the horrific humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. I spoke yesterday evening to the Prime Minister of Lebanon, because we obviously have 380 troops, peacekeeping troops, Irish men and Irish women based in Lebanon now with a UN mission. I've sent them a message. I've been in touch with them yesterday. And I spoke with the Lebanese Prime Minister. And I mean, the clear, absolute essential thing here is for a ceasefare. The UN Security Council has passed a resolution in relation to this matter. It needs
to be enforced. Doesn't look likely, does it?
Let's be very honest. No. I mean, Israel isn't listening. Iran isn't listening. People in the region are not listening. And there's a challenge now for the US, the EU and everybody to look at all levers at their disposal to maximise the pressure and create the environment to bring about a ceasefire. Of course, let's be clear, of course any country has a right to defend itself. Of course anybody has a right to defend themselves from terrorism. Of course what Iran has done should be absolutely condemned. But at the same time we have seen actions also from Israel that have been utterly disproportionate in terms of the loss of life of children, the loss of life of civilians, and what's happening in Gaza is an utterly despicable humanitarian catastrophe that I've described as a war on children. So we need everybody to step back from the brink here. We need to see a de-escalation. We need to see a ceasefire. And Ireland will continue to be a strong voice for that, both in the EU and at the UN.
A couple of quick things, Taoiseach. Do you agree with your predecessor, Leo Varadkar, that immigration numbers have risen too quickly?
Again, I think Leo is a straight shooter, and I think what he meant there was that immigration numbers grew very fast. I mean, and they did. Hmm. We went from having about 3.5.
He actually said they think they'd grown too quickly, yeah, is what he said.
Well, I mean, what I definitely know is this: we went from having about 3,500 people a year seeking international protection to over 20,000 people a year. That is too quick for any system to respond to in real time. We have, of course, been trying to put the systems in place. And my view on this, and my priority, and Minister McEntee's, and what our budget did yesterday, is to allocate more money for processing times and staff. Because what we need to do here is give people a yes if they have a right to be here quicker, integrate them, let them work, let them make a contribution to our society where we need more people working. And if they get a no, we need to make sure they leave our country more quickly.
Okay.
That's what people want.
Do you agree with what he said?
I think that's, yeah, I mean, I think I get the point he was making, but I don't think he was trying to be provocative. I think he was making quite a factual point that we went from a couple of thousand people a year to over 20,000 people a year, and systems are having to respond in real time. And that has been extraordinarily challenging. And I think the attempt by some to shut down any comment on migration is really unhelpful. I mean, migration is now a major public policy issue in our country and across the European Union. Immigration is a good thing. It's made our country better. It's made our economy better. It's made our country more diverse. We've huge benefits from immigration. But it's also a legitimate political and public policy area that we should be allowed to discuss in a calm and rational manner without people trying to shut down the debate.
What did you think the other day when you heard that the cost of modular housing initially flagged for 200,000 was ending up at 440,000? As Taoiseach, what was your reaction when you heard that?
one of great annoyance. But then also when I scratch the surface on this, after you get annoyed as Taoiseach, and you often realise when people are responding in an emergency situation, sometimes it can be more complex than it first appears in a headline figure. Because what people were doing, and I'm certainly not defending the actions here, but what people were doing was they were putting an estimate on what they believed it would cost to provide something. They were doing that in an emergency in terms of with many, many people, about 106,000 people from Ukraine coming to Ireland, and they were estimating what the cost would be. Of course, when they actually got under the bonnet and talked about sites and servicing the sites, it appeared to be much more. And I think this is a consistent issue we've had in this country. Expecting a project to cost one amount and it costing another. That's why I believe we need a Department of Infrastructure, and we need to build up expertise in the public service around infrastructural delivery.
Can I ask you one final question? I know you're under time pressure. Everyone talks about your workload as Taoiseach. You're going up and down the country. You're working very long days. Can I ask you, as a dad of a young family, is it difficult? Is it difficult to juggle everything? Because I think sometimes we forget that as politicians, they do have lives outside politics. Some people who know you worry about the workload that you're putting in. They say it must take a toll, basically, on your health, for example.
No, look, I'm wired in a certain way, and I get great energy from meeting people. I also knew what I was signing up for. I mean, if the Taoiseach of the country wasn't busy, we'd have a bigger problem on our hands. Of course, it places a burden on family, but I'm also very conscious there'll be lots of people listening to this programme who their work places a burden on them too. There'll be lots of people who got up very early this morning, lots of people who'll come home late this morning. You know, I'm very lucky to have a supportive family, and I do my very best to balance it all.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, thank you indeed for coming
in. Thank you so much.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.